Christine Blanchette, and I'm the host and producer of The Closing Act, a music entertainment program. And I have a very special guest, award-winning Umtai Wah, who is here today to talk about their Oscar entry film, Concrete Utopia. I am so excited to have you here, and welcome.
감사합니다. 초대해 주셔서 감사합니다.
감사합니다. Yes. Congratulations again on your Oscar entry submission. And I watched the film, and a lot of tremendous special effects, earthquake. But I read, and please correct me, are there a lot of earthquakes? Does earthquakes happen in Korea?
한국에서는 가끔 일어나긴 하는데 거의 경미한 지진이어갖고 아직 뭐 큰 피해를 입은 적은 없어요. 이게 뭐 약간 벽에 있는 어떤 외벽이 조금 떨어져 나간다거나 그 정도가 가장 큰 지진이었고요. 아직까지는 그런 지진이 일어난 적 없어서 저희는 이 이야기를 만들 때 정말 어떻게 보면은 판타지 같은 그런 맥락으로 이 설정을 접근했던 것 같습니다. 그렇지만 뭐 가까운 나라에서도 지진이 큰 지진이 막 일어나기도 하고 지금은 이제 또 미디어가 많이 발달해 있기 때문에 그런 지진이 일어난 피해 상황에 대해서 저희도 항상 한국에서 접하고 있기 때문에 또 한편으로는 판타지로 설정을 했지만 한편으로는 되게 또 가깝게 다가온 공포로 느껴질 거라는 생각도 동시에 했습니다.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I lived in South Korea and no earthquakes, but I was just very curious. And I think this film is a disaster action film. Is that correct?
재난 액션 영화라고 하기는 좀 어려울 것 같고 재난 자체가 중요한 설정이긴 하지만은 그 재난 자체에 집중했다기보다는 재난 이후에 사람들의 이야기에 좀 더 포커싱을 둔 이야기이기 때문에 굳이 따지자면은 인간 군상 블랙 코미디에 좀 더 가까운 이야기라고 생각합니다.
I mean the film was filmed in the summer. Is that correct?
네, 맞습니다. 네. 그래서 저희가 그 여름에 찍어야 된다는 설정 이렇게 여건상 여름에 찍을 수밖에 없었기 때문에 그거에 대한 대비를 정말 안전상의 대비를 많이 했고요. 항상 에어컨 룸과 얼음을 항상 준비를 했고 저희가 컷을 하면은 저희 스태프들이 배우들한테 달려가서 케어를 항상 하는 식으로 만반의 대비를 했기 때문에 큰 안전사고 없이 물론 배우들은 고생을 했지만 큰 안전사고 없이 잘 촬영을 마칠 수 있었던 것 같습니다. 후반 작업할 때 이 영화가 추워 보이게 하기 위해서 이제 많은 공을 들였는데 특히 입김 영화에 나온 입김이 다 CG 때 그것을 최대한 리얼하게 보이게 하기 위해서 입김 슈퍼바이저가 따로 있었어요. 그래서 자기 스스로 이제 배우의 대사를 스스로 하면서 이게 숨이 나가고 언제 들이마셔지는지를 정확히 계산을 해서 CG로 나중에 입김을 다 입혔습니다.
Yes, it's so realistic. It scares me and thinking you feel for the characters. And I understand in like for special effects, there was like 10,000 photos. Is that right? For like, there's a lot of research, a lot of background production.
많은 사진을 참고를 해서 만들었고, 특히 그 지진 장면 묘사를 할 때 중점을 뒀던 거는 이게 어떤 스펙타클이 당연히 중요하지만 이 스펙타클이 그냥 엔터테이너적인 요소로 소비되기보다는 이 영화에서의 재난에 대한 공포가 가장 되게 중요한 개연성이기 때문에 이 영화에 나오는 주인공의 눈을 통해서 최대한 전달되기를 원했어요. 그래서 많은 부분이 주인공의 시점으로만 보이고 객관적으로 이렇게 딱 넓은 뭔가 이렇게 보여지는 장면보다는 되게 주인공의 시점으로 많이 보이게 연출을 하는데 중점을 줬습니다.
I noticed in the film, well, of course, one apartment building and a big tree. Is there like symbolism? Like one tree I noticed and one apartment building, obviously. And was that, done intentionally? Like I just noticed that. Maybe I'm just curious.
아, 한국에는 그런 문화가 있는데 수호신을 모시는 나무가 있어요. 성황당 나무나 마을마다 옛날부터 하나씩 있었고 그게 아파트 단지에도 하나씩 있는 경우들이 있는데 특히나 이제 80년대에 만들어진 아파트, 80년대, 90년대에 만들어진 아파트에는 그런 큰 나무가 하나씩 꼭 있었기 때문에 그런 되게 리얼한 것들을 최대한 이 아파트 세팅을 할때 설정을 하려고 노력을 했었죠. 마치 그 나무가 있어서 이 아파트가 무너지지 않았다. 그래서 여기 사는 주민들이 우리는 선택받았다라는 말을 할수 있게끔 뭔가 그런 개연성을 좀 만들어 보고 싶었어요. 근데 뭐 사실은 그게 진짜인지는 아무도 모르지만 여기 사는 사람들은 이제 그렇게 믿게 되는 거죠.
How involved were the actors in the script? Was it this was following the script, or were the actors involved in, in the script?
거의 시나리오대로 이제 하셨고요. 다만 영탁 캐릭터를 만들 때는 이병헌 배우님이 많은 질문을 저한테 하셨어요. 그래서 그 질문을 토대로 이 캐릭터가 조금 더 입체적으로 만들어질 수 있게 논의를 되게 많이 했던 것 같고 그 과정에서 뭐 조금씩 바뀐 부분이 있지만 사실은 큰 맥락에서는 배우분들이 거의 세세한 부분까지도 저희가 대사를 다 만들어놨기 때문에 단역분들도 거의 많이 그대로 하셨습니다.
We talked about, oh, actually, the question I have is the film is based on a screenplay?
이 영화의 원작은 유쾌한 왕따라는 웹툰이고요. 그 웹툰의 주요 배경 설정이 모든 것이 무너진 가운데 서울의 어떤 한 아파트가 무너지지 않았고 그 아파트로 주인공이 들어오면서 시작되는 이야기예요. 그래서 그 주인공의 시점으로 이 뭔가 변해버린 예전과는 달라져 버린 아파트를 보면서 공포를 느끼는 게 주된 이야기 웹툰이고요. 그것에서 저는 그 배경에 조금 더 관심이 갔어요. 아파트라는 설정. 그래서 아파트가 어떻게 그런 시스템이 만들어졌는지를 좀더 영화에서 보여주고 싶었고, 그게 한국 사회를 한축적으로 보여줄 수 있을 것 같다는 생각을 했기 때문에, 거기에 중점을 두고 극색을 써서 영화를 만들게 됐습니다.
What about, can I ask about the music? Like, how important was the music in the film?
일단은 음악 자체가 저는 영화의 어떤 색을 많이 정해준다고 생각해요. 영화가 뻔해 보이지 않게 유니크한 영화를 좀 보이기를 원했고요. 그러면서도 감정은 제대로 전달하는 역할을 했으면 좋겠다는 주문을 음악 감독한테 했고 그래서 이제 되게 논의를 많이 했는데 세 가지 정도 특징이 있었어요. 첫 번째는 이 영화가 한국의 버블 시대, 그러니까 경제적 발전을 많이 했던 시기에 그런 음악을 많이 가져다 쓰자. 그때 쓰였던 악기라든가 소리를 많이 가져다 쓰자라는 얘기를 해서 한국 아파트에서 이제 외부인들 다 내쫓고 나서 이제 아파트 만세를 지는 장면에서 같은 경우에 그런 이제 한국이 이렇게 발전했던 시기의 음악과 비슷한 스타일을 갖다가 쓰기도 했고요. 두 번째로는 지금 재난 이후에 모든 게 무너진 상황이 이제 어떻게 보면 되게 원시 시대로 돌아간 것 같은 생각으로 접근을 했고, 그래서 타악기를 많이 쓰잖아요. 뼈가 부딪히는 소리 컨셉에 타악기를 많이 써보자라는 얘기를 해서 그런 타악기를 많이 썼고요. 세 번째로는 이 영화가 어떻게 보면 되게 많은 인물들이 나오고 군상의 특징이 있기 때문에 뮤지컬 같은 느낌 줘보자고 얘기를 해서 되게 클래식컬한 음악 악기들과 또 드럼과 일렉기타를 섞어서 가는 뮤지컬스러운 음악 컨셉으로도 이런 것들을 잘 밸런스를 맞춰서 이제 작업을 했습니다. 오랜 작업을 했습니다. 실제로 저희 제작사에서 영화를 뮤지컬로 리메이크할 생각으로 추진하고 있습니다.
Wow. Thank you so much for your time today. I was delighted to speak with you. I love to have this carry on, but I just really enjoyed it. Congratulations and 감사합니다.
감사합니다. Thank you so much.
You. Joining me today as my special guest is award-winning Canadian actor Camille Sullivan. Camille is here today to talk about her latest role as Leslie in the dark comedy She Talks to Strangers. And she'll be talking about what's next for her for this accomplished actor. Welcome, Camille.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Oh my goodness. You know, like I was saying before we went live or on air, that you have such an impressive resume for acting and film, and you are in demand. I mean, you've been in like Exile, Sharksea, Hunter Hunter, Kingsway. This is just to name few or four. I mean, how do you do it? You are in demand, but I mean, do you ever get tired? Like, I mean, you keep going, and I see your IMDb. It's just
No, I
incredible.
never get tired. No, I'll work as much as people will have me. I love to work. So, yeah, no, keep it coming. I feel very lucky. I've had a very productive period and I'm super grateful.
Yes. Well, you're so passionate about what you do, and I mean, I've watched some of your clips, like Hunter Hunter, if I may say, and you're so into every role, and it's so, you know, the in depth. Like you study your character so well, and it's gripping. And so, as I said, I've watched a few of your clips, and I just wanted to say that it's just really an honor to speak with you today, and I want to say congratulations on the film She Talks to Strangers. Will be premiering tomorrow, I believe, eh? At the Whistler Film Festival. Is that correct?
That's right, 6:15 tomorrow at the Whistler Film Festival. And then again the next day at noon.
Yes, it's so exciting. I've watched the film, and I wanted to ask you, what attracted you to the role?
I love Bruce's writing. He writes strong female characters, and that's so much fun to play. So much fun to play somebody who's just right out there. As well as working with Gabrielle Rose again, who I love working with, who's played my mom a couple other times. And she's such a pleasure. She's so game and so much fun on set. So those two things really drew me to it.
Yes, and I mean you've worked on a few films, right? Which I Kingsway, correct? And there was
Yeah.
another one as well that I'm trying
Watcher.
Birdwatcher.
Yeah.
Yes. So I could see the connection with working with her. And also with you've also worked with the actor who plays I'm trying to think the one that is your ex-husband.
Jeff Gladstone.
Yeah, Paxton Gladstone. Yes.
Yeah, he was my brother, and then in this one, he's my ex-husband. Yeah.
Ex-husband. Oh my goodness. So this was filmed in Vancouver, is that right? In
Yeah.
14 days or 15 days? Oh,
Yeah, it was
goodness.
quick. It was a labor of love in Vancouver.
Yes. And I mean, so how did you start working with Bruce? Like, how did that come about?
Just before Kingsway, he sort of I can't remember if he called me or probably emailed me, but just saying, would I be interested in reading that script and would I be interested in working with him? And I jumped at the opportunity because, I was familiar with his movies, obviously, and I thought they were great. And So yeah, so I read Kingsway and I loved it. And so we worked together on that. And then, you know, that did quite well. And that led to this one.
Yes. That's wonderful. And like working with Bruce has been wonderful because you've been working with him for a few times, right? And, but do you have, how much involvement did you have in the script? Did you have like, I want to do this instead, for example, like how much did you have, you know, involvement?
No, not at all. Bruce's script is Bruce's script. No. And by the time I read it, it was pretty much fully realized, except for changes that we made. But those were his changes. Yeah, I know. He told me what to say and I said it.
Yeah, I was, and you know, Camille, how much, how do you prepare for this role as the daughter? I mean, you've worked with Gabrielle Rose before, but how did you prepare for it?
I tried to think, generally when I pick up a script the first time, I try to think of what's a kind of a theme or something that interests me about this, and then sort of branch out from there and see what sparks. So for this one, what I had written on my script was no plan survives first contact with the enemy. And so that's the way I kind of looked at the relationship with Jeff's character, that, you know, I had this plan, I had this life, in comes the enemy, and then, and so what do I think then I spend the rest of the movie trying to scramble to figure out how do I win this war?
Yeah, so I mean, but how do you do, like, how do you, like, you get into your own zone and you do a lot of script preparation, you know, when I see some of these things, like you're crying, like, how do you, like, it's so convincing and so, I mean, I felt for you, Leslie, for the dog, you know, when you, the dog, John went missing, and
I mean, pets passed away, so it's not even that far from reality, so it touches the nerve. You know, a whole day.
So you just bring
heartbreaking.
Yeah, because you, I mean, drawing on past experiences, sometimes you don't want to, but it helps, right? As you said, to get into character. And I'm sorry for the loss of your dog, by the way. I love animals, so.
It's a crime scene. I try to think about the love rather than the sadness, you know, and that tends to open me up emotionally, and then it kind of just comes.
Yeah, well, you make it look easy, you know. I mean, you're so it's just like, as I said, the dog, and there's other parts too, the, you know, as the daughter, and then you take us on this journey, if you will, that you get along with your mom, right? At the end. And it was so wonderful, you know? And would you say this film's about relationships?
Yeah, I do think it's about relationships and sort of, you know, the kind of notion a little bit of every man is an island, or everyone is an island rather. And like, is that true? Because at the start of the movie, Leslie has really created her own little island. It's her and her dog, and that's it. And that's all that she needs. And she doesn't really want to interact with anybody else, including her mother. And then she finds, I think, through the movie that she does need other people, as well as her life is affected, whether she wants it or not, by other people. So it's sort of about navigating those waters of relationships, and how do you get to a place that's beneficial, and who do you stay in a relationship with, and who do you get out of a relationship with?
Yes, and you know, and people, you know, they can relate to it, because sometimes you don't always get along with their mom and dad, or and then the dog John, which I love the name, you know, that was her, you know, best friend and someone that loves you unconditionally, yes, you know, if I may say, but the, where did you get the, whose dog is that? It's so beautiful. It's an Aussie Shepherd, correct?
Yeah, it is an Aussie Shepherd, and it's a friend of Bruce's.
Pardon?
Yeah. Who I can't remember the name, unfortunately, because we shot it almost a year ago. But the dog was great. It's a girl, actually. And she was so good. She was so just like calm all day. Just like, you ever do a thing, just like, just do it. And then she'd just be relaxing, like very well-tempered dogs.
Yes. And you know, you just said this was about a year ago. So can you share the process in making this film?
Bruce wrote, I mean, we were supposed to do a different script just prior to the pandemic, but then the pandemic, we were getting ready to shoot and everything. And then the pandemic came and kiboshed that. And then over that time, Bruce had a different idea. So wrote this script and sent it to me, and I thought it was great. I loved it, loved the character of Leslie, loved the script. And it wasn't too long after that that we were shooting. And I mean, the process is pretty organic with Bruce because he's there obviously directing every day, but he's also got his writer's hat on. So, you know, if something's not playing the way he wants it or he doesn't like a piece of dialogue, then it changes on the fly. And, you know, so it's very organic that way. And, and he's working with a crew who he's worked with many times, and they're all so pro and so wonderful. So it's a real little family / machine putting out the movie.
Yes. I mean, he has his writer's hat on, producing, directing. And it was such a, in the Vancouver Sun, there's been great feedback about the film. And from, I'm just paraphrasing, Bruce was saying like he loves working with people with a strong work ethic. And that was like, it's just like you can tell everyone's getting along, working well together. And that's why you've been working on other, like more films. But I wanted to ask you, Camille, is this your second dark comedy film? Like Ally was Screaming in 2014, I believe.
That's right. Yeah. Ally was Screaming. That was a great movie. Sort of a dark comedy about these people win the lottery and what will you do to hang on to that money? Like what moral boundaries will you cross? So yeah, I think it's sort of this one in the same way sort of does deal with morality and the fine lines and what you do to get what you want or what you do to survive. And in that way, they do kind of cross over thematically.
Yes. And you know, Camille, like, as I said at the beginning, you have so many credits, but you, if I may say, you don't rest on your laurels. You just keep going. You keep going on everything. Like, I mean, I think it's 85, if I understand. Like, and I have to ask, I mean, like, what is your, if I call it a secret, how do you, what drives you?
That's a good question. I am driven by that one. I love it. I love being on set. I love acting. I love the whole experience of making the movie. So I'm driven just by that. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to do, even though maybe not every moment is a pleasure. The overall experience is a pleasure. And I'm also, I really want to create something great that speaks to people, you know. That's the other thing, is I hope to make something that somebody watches and it speaks to them in some way.
Yes. Have you thought of perhaps like directing your own film one day? I have to ask you.
Yeah, no, I have. I have thought about it. And that might be something I work toward in the future. Because certainly I've been acting for a long time and I've done a lot of work. So I start to notice, like, I understand how things are happening here and the next step to sort of branch out in a different direction. Certainly I would consider directing. I'm just, you know, I've been so luckily busy that I haven't had time and I had to really focus on anything else, but I think that time is coming soon.
Yes, I mean, you are a role model. And if, you know, people are watching and listening, what tips would you give to someone who, you know, wants to continue in acting or just starting?
I would say the biggest thing is to value what you bring to the table, because you're unique and it's your uniqueness that's going to make you interesting to watch and that it's going to make it real. So don't get trained out of the weirdnesses that are you, you know, like just bring you to the table as openly as possible and stand by yourself, stand by your work. Just because somebody doesn't like what you're doing doesn't mean it's no good.
No, thank you. That's wonderful. And people, what would you want people to take away from the film? I mean, you said a little bit at the in the interview, but, you know, what else would you tell, you know, what would be the message behind it or in the movie?
I think I would like people to take away from the film, don't mess with people's pets.
I like that. Yeah, because I mean, I have to. I just felt like, oh my goodness, he's missing, and I was almost like, I hope they find John. But I guess he. Well, I don't want to spoil it, but he died. Like he never came back. Right?
Is that? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the last straw. You can't bounce back from that.
Yes, no, well said, Camille. And I wanted to ask you, so what is next for you?
Right now I'm filming season 3 of Shorzy for Crave, and that's super fun. We've got a little more going on that. And then next year, I have a movie coming out called Shelby Oaks, directed by Chris Stuckman, that will be hitting the festivals and then probably released later in the year. It's a horror film. I'm very, very excited about it. Exile will be coming out in Canada. I'm not sure the details yet, but I believe early winter, Exile will be released in Canada. And I think that's all I know about right now.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And people wish to follow you or, you know, watch the movie, where would they go? I mean, I know it's playing at the Whistler Film Festival, but I guess, you know, to follow your movies or watch, is there like a website that you have or?
Well, I'm on Twitter at Camille Sully, and I'm on Instagram, sullivan.camille. And I post regularly about the movies. So as they come out, I try to let everybody know. And I super appreciate anybody who watches them. I really do.
Yes. No, Camille, I wanted to thank you so much for your time today. And for those, please see the film, She Talks to Strangers. And I would love to have you come back, Camille.
Sure, I would love that.
Yes. Thank you so much for your time today.
Great. Thank you so much. Pleasure to meet you.